B-Pod Studios.
And joining us, one of the most entertaining guys out there. He was incredibly entertaining as a player, and he is even more so now as a media member personality from ESPN and his morning show. Keyshawn Johnson joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Keyshawn, Happy New Year.
What's happening, man? Happy New Year to you, too.
You're a lot of fun. I remember years ago, we used to always want you here. We wanted you, and when Chris Donovan had no receivers back in the day. And we always wanted you. We always wanted you, man, to come to Philadelphia.
You don't want me. I wasn't going to help you.
All right.
I remember I was a Buccaneer, man. I know, dude.
Like, oh my God! That day was probably the lowest day ever, and your greatest day, the day that ended Veterans Stadium.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We closed the vet and opened up the link.
Dude, I remember.
And we won the next year against y'all in the link.
Yeah, I remember. Stallone was there.
Fly, was Eagles, there. Fly.
I know, you're a rat bastard. You really are. So let me ask you a couple of things, because you and Dan Orlovsky got into a great heated argument over the whole Sunday night Eagles tank thing. And I don't want to get into integrity of game or any of that stuff. I just want to ask you one thing. If you were a veteran, would you feel betrayed by that move?
Probably not. No, I wasn't like that as a player, right? Yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. We're not going anywhere. We're going to get the sixth pick instead of the ninth pick. Okay, cool. I'm fine. You pulled me out of the game, and I get what you're trying to do. But I was smart enough where I didn't need the coach to explain to me.
Right.
You don't even need to tell me, and I know what you're thinking. As soon as Doug Peterson did what he was doing and the guy was stayed in the game, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I see what they're doing. They're getting ready to try to lose on purpose to get a higher pick. And I kept it moving. I didn't dive into it all deep and make it some sinister type thing.
Except the problem that you got is the players are upset. They're pissed off that you didn't give them a chance to win the game. Like, a couple guys had to be held back of at least talking to Peterson, going, yo, dude, we want to win. It was Schwartz's last day, and it wasn't explained to them before the game that this is might not work out. I think they thought that they were going to be losing and it was going to be no big deal. You throw Sudfeld in there, and that's that. Instead, it was like an obvious in your face.
Well, I think he was doing what he should have done for the organization, which was to try to get a higher pick. Now, whether or not he explained it to people, I don't know, because as far as him explaining, how could he? I guess he could have said, hey, you know, I'm going to rotate some guys in. You know, I guess he could have took that approach, but coming to him and saying, hey, I don't want to win this game because we're going to get a higher pick. I mean, he's not going to do that, right? So maybe he could have gone to him if that was something that they were so desperately needing in their life that he could have gone to them and, you know, said, hey, I want to maybe play some other guys in the second half. Maybe he could have done that.
Well, that's the obvious point. When you're getting ready, you know those Saturday meetings, you go, listen, We're gonna probably play it like this, guys.
Yeah, he can do that, but if you tip your hand, in the world that we live in, if you got some smart guys that can figure it out before the game, all of a sudden these fools, like, you know them, they gonna jump on social media.
He told Collinsworth and Al Michaels he was gonna do that. He didn't tell Schwartz, his own defensive coordinator.
Oh, well, maybe he just dropped the ball in that one. I don't know. I really, at the end, communication is important. And if his communication skills is rotten, and he needs to just learn this offseason how to be a better communicator. But as far as the winning of the game and losing of the game, he did the right thing for the organization in terms of getting a higher pick if that was his true goals and desires, or
right.
Which I would think that that's what it was, because you can't just be stupid, right? You can't think that, I got better players out there. No, he couldn't. No, not at all.
I don't know. You never know.
One minute, he's the greatest guy in the world.
He's never been the greatest guy in the world. I don't want to hear that nonsense.
Let's give him a statue in front of the stadium. We got our first Super Bowl. Now, all of a sudden, the guy needs to be run out of town. You people, boy, I tell
man,
you about
get out. No, you know why? Because we keep it real. All right? We keep it real. And we see through nonsense. That's the truth.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody lays down in Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you guys boot Santa Claus.
You can't go with that weak stuff.
What do you mean?
That's weak stuff. Man, first of all, it's all fake. It's all fugazi. And he was a rotten-ass Santa Claus, all right?
It's not fugazi.
It's totally fugazi. You weren't even alive. I wasn't alive. It's not. It's bogus, man.
Y'all still booed the myth. And then you cheer when Michael Irvin neck almost got decapitated.
They didn't realize how bad. First of all, we hate Cowboys. But second of all, they didn't realize how hurt he was.
And then y'all talked about me in the midst of a very, very disappointing divorce. Now what?
Nah, man. Well, you know, things happen.
It probably would have been fun to play in Philly, even though y'all blew down when he got drafted.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen.
But look, here's what I would say.
Yeah,
they got an opportunity and a chance to make it right in 2021. Right? 2020 is over. You didn't make the playoffs. It's over with. So now let's look forward to 2021. Let's look forward to Jalen Hurts possibly being the quarterback of the
All right, I want to ask you about that, because you've been hypercritical of Wentz. Do you think Wentz is cooked as a quarterback?
No, not cooked. Maybe fractured in Philadelphia as a quarterback. Not cooked. I would never say cooked. I would never say cooked. I just would say he's probably fractured as a QB in Philly.
All right, so now you think Jalen's the answer?
Well, he's got to be the answer. Right?
Or you get a quarterback, or you get a coach in here that actually knows how to rebuild another quarterback in Wentz quarterback with Hurts.
You're going to give me a headache. Because now you want to get rid of the coach.
Listen.
Like, stop.
I mean,
not firing.
You're not here. You don't see the mistakes week in, week out.
Yes, I watch the same damn
thing. Holmes, you're not here, dude. You don't see that stuff.
I watch.
Your eyes are closed when you watch the film.
You watch.
No, you don't.
I do.
Then you would see, if you did, the mistake after mistake. Why would you go for it on fourth and five? Why would you do that?
This is a
Why wouldn't you kick the field goal?
Well, because he didn't care.
Okay.
He didn't want to kick the field goal.
It's week in, week out. All right? Week in, week out.
This is the same complaint.
No, it's not.
This is the same complaints I heard about Andy Reid for 100 years.
No, Andy Reid was a great coach.
Oh, now he was great.
He was a great coach. You're taking everything as, like, this blanket situation. Listen, trust me. Andy Reid had respect.
Look, Doug Peterson has been the head coach for 4 years now, right?
Don't give me the playoffs, please.
No,
stop with this.
He finished his fourth year, right?
Yeah. Fifth year. Go ahead.
It's his fifth year?
Yeah.
Okay. In 5 years, he's giving you a Super Bowl. He's giving you several playoffs. Appearances.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah, I know he won it. I know it was all him.
No, it's not.
He didn't even call Philly, all right? That was Foles.
Oh, God, stop. He created the play.
He was the real savant here.
Oh, you guys are, it's painful. This is why I can't, because The guy's been there 5 years.
Okay, stop. I'm keeping it real. You don't keep it real. I get it.
Super Bowl.
You just don't keep it real. You look at it from 50,000 feet. You're not, again, you don't see it. You got to be here, ground level.
I see not going for the touchdown. I see screwing it up. I see those things. But what I would say is when you win a Super Bowl, a coach gets
a little longer rope. Remember Billick?
Yeah, but Brian Billick.
Come on.
Brian Billick got a little longer rope.
Ah, he didn't even get another job after.
But that's the job after, but he still got several years after. He got several years after?
Several.
No.
It took Harbs to come in there and fix that situation.
Yes, but once he won that Super Bowl,
I'm just messing around. The real serious thing, and I got to ask you this, is when you look at how the roster has been constructed, and you look at the drafting of Jalen, you look at the lack of weapons that Wentz has been around, is that part of the issue here?
Well, I think one starts with the offensive line. The offensive line was decimated this year, and you got to fix the offensive line before you can fix the weapons. Because if you got weapons and no line, what difference does it make if you can't get the ball to them? Right? So you start from inside out is how you start.
Yep.
You start from inside out. You start with building the offensive line. Then you worry about the receiver position, the running back. You worry about that at that point, because if you got all those skill positions and the line stinks, he'll be on his back. And so I think what Howie has to do, Howie Roseman, the general manager, he has to do, or whoever's picking the players, they've got to evaluate better. Their evaluation of prospects is horrible.
Yeah, look at the receivers. We've been crying about receivers.
I
got to
tell my dog. My dog, you know, my dog gets to sniffing around. I want him doing stuff he shouldn't be doing.
We look at these receivers. I mean, you look at J.J. Arcega-Whiteside when DK Metcalf's there, and I know there's a medical.
I wouldn't, to be honest with you, you know, I'm from the West Coast. I'm out west in the Pac-12 country.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. When people ask me about him doing draft time, I'm like, I don't think he's a red zone target at best. And then they go and pass on him to pick up. They pass on DK Metcalf to pick him up, which I understand DK had some injury issues.
Yeah, the medical,
The medical stuff. So I get that pass, but it's like if Seattle took a flyer on it and they're a much better team that desperately needed wide receivers, how could Philadelphia pass on him?
I know. We're crying this year. Yeah.
And pass on Justin Jefferson. So maybe they just, whoever's doing the evaluation for those positions, I don't know how.
Well, Howie's the GM, and
yeah, but just because GM,
Jeffrey has a lot to say too, is the owner.
Yeah, but come on, man.
You got a lot to say.
I know, but when you, here's what I would say. I love owners. Owners are great. Own teams. Stay out the way.
Think you're right about that.
Don't start telling me about talent. Don't do that. But what I was going to say is every organization is structured differently, as you know. Some people's scouting departments are structured regionally, position-wise. It just depends.
Yep.
So I don't know how Philly's is structured, but what I would say is
read between the lines when I'm talking to you about ownership having a heavy hand here.
No, I understand. I get it. Yeah. I understand. But when ownership doesn't understand ball, that can get in the way of you building a team. And so, you know, sometimes you got to have people in your scouting department that's able to say, no. And your regional scouts have to understand talent. If you just hire guys as your regional scouts is bringing back the information to you and telling you this guy's really good. I mean, I look at Michael Pittman Jr. from USC.
Yeah.
That's in Indianapolis doing a good job, because Indianapolis clearly valued who he was in college.
And you also have a really good coach there that knows how to get a lot out of
You look at Pittsburgh and Claypool. Somebody saw that and said,
yeah, Deontay Wilder. I mean, think about they never miss, right? They never miss. Deontay Johnson, Claypool, they just they won after Juju. They never miss. Hey, Keyshawn, you're a lot of fun. You really are. You're a ton of fun.
Well, I try to have fun, and I don't eat cheesesteaks, so
I don't care about it.
We can still be friends.
You're gonna go steak sandwich with me?
No, see, I don't
go cliche.
I don't do cheesesteaks.
You went Santa Claus and steak sandwich.
Santa Claus, you got boo Santa Claus. What type of city
man,
is
come
it?
On, brother.
You boo Santa Claus.
Nah, you don't know Philadelphia.
You know the best part of my entire life, though. The best part of my entire life. As a football player, I tell people this story all the time, and it's not just because I'm on a Philly or radio station.
Yeah.
Is that I entered the vet, and when I entered the vet, I seen a rat run past the bus.
Right.
And fans screaming and hollering and cursing me out. And we went on a drive. And I think I might have had three catches on the drive, capped off by a touchdown. But the entire drive, all I heard was, Keyshawn sucks. Keyshawn sucks. Touchdown. I take the ball. I throw it against the wall of the vet. You can hear a church mouse running around.
Let me tell you. First of all, you didn't do anything. It was your vicious that hurt us.
Yeah, I know. It was your vicious.
You did nothing. It was your vicious.
It was JoJo. He helped us.
I can still see it. Levon Kirkland. Oh, my God.
And then the next year, I'm in the midst of a divorce. And I come into the link to warm up early, and there's fans in the stands in the end zone, and they're screaming all in that sexy, Keyshawn, where's your wife? Where's your wife? All I could do is laugh. And at the beginning of the game, they open up the link, the music and Rocky and the whole deal, and you look into the end zone at the top, and Sylvester Stallone is up there. Like, that was really going to motivate the Eagles. And then we go back on the plane, back to Tampa, celebrating, drinking, having fun. It was the greatest time ever.
Not getting too chatty. East Coast, man. East Coast, no West Coast.
I'm on the East Coast now. I live in New York, so, you know.
Bro, listen, you have a great one, man. It was great talking to you. It really was. A lot of fun.
All right, no problem. Anytime.
Thanks, buddy. Take it easy. Keyshawn Johnson.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.